Some years ago now, my wife and I, it was after our Sunday service, we were going to visit her extended family. And she's got extended family in Halifax, and I believe it was like Easter or some holiday or something. And so we left church, and we were driving up Route 441 on the way to Halifax, and we went through Middletown. And there's a section in Middletown where the speed limit goes, I think, from like 45 down to 35. And I've always been told, whenever you go through that section on 441 and through Middletown, always slow down there because the cops patrol that relentlessly and they'll ticket you. So, heeding advice, I slowed down and went through there. And as I'm going through there, I realized that indeed the cops are busy today. They had somebody pulled over. And as I'm going by, I realized that the vehicle they have pulled over is the same like make, model, and color as a friend of mine. Now, I didn't know what they would have any business doing in Middletown. I couldn't see who it was. I could just see the make and the model and the color and everything. And I thought, what are the odds that someone else has that make, model, and color? Because it's kind of one of those cars that not a lot of people have. So I kind of tucked that away in my mind and went to our family thing. I think about Tuesday that week, I sent an email to this friend. I just said, hey, how much was your ticket for on Sunday in Middletown? And I found out later, I sent that email to him at work. It's somebody who remained nameless, but they come here. And they've given me permission to share this story, I will say. So I found out later, he sends that email from his work address home to his wife saying, how did he know? And so he got back to me and said, yeah, it was this much, but how did you know? And I emailed back, as your pastor, I make it my business to know your business. It's a little unnerving when people know the junk in our lives, isn't it? Junk that we don't want them to know, right? All of us walk into this room this morning with some sort of junk in our past, and all of us walk into this room probably thinking with this kind of this subtle fear in the back of our minds and our hearts, you know, if the fear that I just sure hope people don't find me out, right? If I were to say to you this morning that Steve Strickler, our video guy sitting over here, he's been following you around for the last 6 weeks with a video camera. And with new technology, he's not only caught for us, your actions and words, but also your thoughts. And we're going to show that video this morning. What would your response be? I mean, forget the door. You'd be headed for the border, right? I mean, you'd be like, I'm out of here. So this morning we want to start a series called Making Peace with Your Past. It's going to be a 5-week series. It's going to run through the month of August here. And I'm going to kick it off this morning, and then Pastor Jeff's going to be with us for 2 weeks, and then Pastor Todd, and then Pastor Jeff's going to wrap it up. And we know it's summertime. We know that some of you will not be here for all those Sundays, and that's okay. We'd encourage you to get the CDs if you miss a Sunday, or to go onto our website and to listen to the messages that you miss. So what do we do with this junk in our past? Because if I were to ask you this morning, what are the key things that have defined you as a person, the person that you are today? You could make a list for me probably, and some of those things would be very positive things. All of us have positive things in our past that have shaped us. But we also have that list of negative things, things that we don't want other people to know about. And this series, we're going to talk about the negative side of that equation, the things in our past that we don't want other people to know about. And if the video was going to roll on the screen, we'd be out of here. So what do we do with that? I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis. I want to give you 4 truths this morning that I believe will help us begin to make peace with our past. I don't think we're not naive enough to think that this 5-week series is going to help you put to rest all the things in your past. But hopefully, and it is our prayer, that this series would be a catalyst of the Lord for you in that way in your life. And to that end, let me pray before I take us into this passage in Genesis and share with you these 4 truths. Father, you and I both know that coming into this room this morning, I've got nothing to give that's going to make peace with anyone's past in this room. Several people in this room have shared with me their stories, but for the most part, I don't know the stories of these individuals. But you do. You're the sovereign God of the universe, and you're the one who came to die to rescue all of us from our past. And so, Lord, I pray that it would be you, through your word this morning and through your Holy Spirit, that would speak to each heart right to where they are. And would you allow me, Lord, to simply get out of the way of what you want to do. In your name we pray. Amen. First couple chapters of Genesis are extremely foundational to the Christian faith. And if you are new to faith, I'd really encourage you, or if you're exploring faith in Christ, I'd really encourage you to spend some time here. We're not going to mine this by any stretch of the imagination to its deepest level. But I want us to gather just four truths this morning. So I want to pick it up in chapter 2. Now, Genesis 1 and 2 is the description of God creating the world. And it goes through the whole list of how God created, what he created, and all that. And he creates all the animals and things, and then he creates man. He creates the first human being, that's Adam. And we come to verse 18 of chapter 2 when it says this, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone." And all the women said, "Amen." We know what happens when men are alone. They make a mess. Okay, I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, dropping down, it talks a little bit about how he does that. Then dropping down to verse 24, it says this, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two, and they will become one flesh." Verse 25, "The man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame." And I'll think about that for a second. God created a perfect world. All of it was good. Places Adam and Eve in the garden. They feel no shame. They've got nothing to hide. There's nothing between the two of them. Verse 1 of chapter 3 changed. We don't know how much time passed between verse 25 of chapter 2 and verse 1 of chapter 3. I don't believe it was a lot of time, but read what happens next. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now back in chapter 2, God told Adam that he can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden except for one, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now Satan comes, and notice what he says. He twists that. That's not what really God said. He did not say you may not eat of any tree. And the woman corrects him. Eve says to the serpent, verse 2, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. She gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And then you'll read in the following verses the consequences for their sin, for them, their disobedience to God, first to Satan, second Eve, and finally to Adam. And in this passage, I believe we find four truths that will begin to help us make peace with our past. The first one is this, and these will be up on the screen. These are also in your notes. Everyone has a past. Everyone has a past. Read what it says there in verse 6 and 7. "And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." And from that moment, right at that moment, sin entered the world, and sin entered all into all of humanity. And from that moment on, every child that has been born with a sin nature. Scripture is clear that that starts from the moment of conception and is something that is true of all of us. And so what's true of all of us entering this room is while we don't know each other's stories, all of us have a past because all of us are sinful people. Now, this is a critical point. You might think, well, this is kind of elementary, but this is actually a very critical point because for some of you, you enter this room this morning, you think, yeah, I have a past and I need help. I'm looking forward to this series. I sure hope that this 5 weeks is going to take care of me, right? And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm with you. But some of us, be really easy for us to enter the room. Maybe you've kind of grown up in a Christian home, and if you listen to your testimony, it doesn't include drugs or sex or, you know, alcohol, the things that we think are like these big bad sins, even though any sin will get you to hell. And we've all done it, so all sins in God's eyes are kind of equal. The consequences of those sins in our earthly relationships are different, but in God's eyes, any sin, you know, is worthy of us not making it to heaven. So it'd be easy for some of us who kind of enter that room thinking, yeah, this series, this is going to be really good for the person at like the end of my row. You know, I sure hope they're listening, you know, right? But the truth is, all of us have a past. And when we speak of having a past, we don't just speak this morning and in this series of a past of things we have done, sins we have committed. Because some of you have shared your stories with me, and we also speak of the stories or of the sins that have been committed against you. See, sin has consequences both vertically and horizontally. And for some of you, your past is sin of others have done to you. And so as we think about making peace with your past, we're talking about both sides of that. And every one of us has a past. For some of us, our pasts are so bad or so traumatic or such that we would think, and this is, I think, easy for all of us. Some days I even think, man, what am I doing being a pastor? You know, I think, what am I doing here? You know, I'm not qualified for this. But here's the thing. God can use any person, any past. I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to kind of take a quick read through Scripture and discover that the people that the Bible calls saints have junk in their background, right? I mean, just read through the Old Testament. You know, you got Moses, he committed a murder. God still makes him the leader of Israel. And after he's the leader of Israel, he's marching through the desert and he gets so frustrated, he strikes a rock in anger. Some of us can relate to having anger problems, right? And yet God still uses him. And the stories could go on and on and on. Mark Walt said this in his book, Lasting Impressions. He said, God has used cunning prostitutes, a womanizing iron man, and thick-headed fishermen to accomplish his work. So God can use all of us, no matter our past. So the second truth we see, the first one is everyone has a past. The second truth we see is this. Our past, the past that each one of us has, leads to hiding. It leads us to hide. Notice what happens in verses 7 and 8. Then the eyes of both of them, that's Adam and Eve, were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So up to this point, they got nothing to be ashamed of. And Adam and Eve eat the fruit, they disobey God. And now they have something to be ashamed of. And so what they do is they feel like they got to cover themselves. So they go and they find what they can. And they get some fig leaves. And they tie them together. This isn't exactly fig leaves. And they cover themselves up. And you say, Pastor, you look ridiculous. I get that all the time. The best they could, they kind of put some stuff together and they covered themselves up. If you think this looks ridiculous, think about what it must have felt like for them. Right? There was nothing between them. Now all of a sudden they feel like they got to cover themselves. So they sew some fig leaves together. And then, in the cool of the day, God comes walking through the garden, and it almost reads like this was God's regular routine. We don't know that for sure. And they realize God's coming. And they decide they got to hide. So Adam and Eve, they come over here in the bushes. And they hide. Shh. Here he comes. Don't move, don't move, don't move. Isn't he beautiful? My son and I came in early this morning. He found this in my office. He's like, Daddy, why is Mommy on a popsicle stick? You know, why is she a puppet? We can laugh at that, but like two kids caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Or here's Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes. Right? And from that moment on, our story is we are people who hide. I don't just mean physically, although we do that too. I mean, all of you came dressed this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right? Along the way, we've gotten better at covering ourselves. So, now we don't use fig leaves. Now we have clothes. Isn't that nice? That's nice. And modern technology has given us even other things like, to hide with, like Rogaine and makeup and hair coloring. I know, that's a little too convicting. I was at the beach this week for just a couple days with my family. And when I went out first day on the beach, I made sure I got suntan lotion, sunscreen all over my body. Because I was like, I am not getting burnt. And I get in the end of the day and I went to comb my hair. I'm like, pow. I realized that it's not as thick up there as it once was. And I could use a little bit of that Rogaine. But anyway, but not just physically, but also emotionally. And don't we hide emotionally too? If you don't believe me, let me ask you a question. When you came through the lobby this morning, if and hopefully someone said, hey, how are you doing? What did you say to them? How did you answer them? Audience participation. How did you answer them? Fine, good, great, right? These are the socially acceptable answers, right? Doesn't matter that you could be as mad as a hornet at your spouse. It doesn't matter that you got out of the car after fighting with your kids the whole way to church. Doesn't matter that you could be scared to death about your job. Fine, good, yeah, it's great, right? And we hide. We don't want people to know our junk. Even in church, especially church. 2 weeks ago, I spent a great deal of time down in junior camp. We had all of our, completing third grade through fifth grade kids down in junior camp. And we split the kids up into two groups. And there was a gray team and a blue team. And the one night, they decided that they're going to play capture flag. And I love games like this. And so I grabbed a gray bandana, which was kind of, and jumped on the team. It was my son's team. He was in the gray team. They're here this morning, and she was on the blue team. And so we're getting ready to start capture flag, and I knew that they were going to blow the bell and the kids were going to take off, but I thought we had better have a strategy if we want to win this thing, because forget about the ministry here, we want to win. And so Dan Hanselman and I and David Feaster and stuff, we pulled ourselves together, and we said, okay, what are we going to do? And we decided we had the strategy, okay, we're going to send some guys back on defense, and we're going to attack, and so we're going to, Dan said, I'm going to go this way, and David Feaster and I said, we're going to go this way. We're going to go to the outer edges of the camp. We're going to go way deep into their territory, hopefully sneak in there, and come in from behind to get the flag. So we were ready. So we take off. The bell rings. We go, and David Feaster and I are going, and we head to this one side of the camp, and our strategy is there's a cornfield. If we can get to the cornfield, we feel like we can get all the way to the back of the camp, and we'll be golden. But we have to cross this meadow first. So Dave and I climb over the fence, and we start running across this meadow. There's nothing in it. We're running across this meadow when all of a sudden we hear, we got you surrounded. And like out of the bushes come like Austin Burkholder and his cousin Jeremy Burkholder and Johnny Jones. And I was like, okay, I'm in trouble now because I know I can't outrun them. I mean, I'm faster than them. I'm faster than them for about the first 12 steps. And then after that, I'm worried about what happened to the oxygen in the air. And so I thought, I'm going for the cornfield. So I get to the fence, and if I can clear the fence, I'm like 20 feet from the cornfield, and I think I'm golden. But as I'm going across the fence, Johnny Jones tags me. And I thought, I'm going, this is camp. I should, I'm here for the kids. Okay, I'll look inside. I'm going, I can't believe this. I mean, we're like 2.5 minutes into this game, and I'm already stung. And so I walk up to the jail. I get up there, and I'm like one of the first ones there. I'm the only leader. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. And then I look around, I'm like, well, where'd David Feaster get to? He's not here. So I thought, cool, at least I was the decoy then. David's still out running in the woods somewhere. That'll be great. He'll come and rescue us. And all these kids start pouring into our jail, all of our teammates, I'm still like the only leader. And then my daughter runs up, and she looks at me, and she goes, wow, Dad, that must be like really embarrassing. She runs off. On the outside, I'm going, no, I was a decoy. David Feaster, he's still out there. On the inside, I'm going, did my daughter just throw me under the bus? Did she really point out how bad I look here? That's just a game, right? And aren't we in life like that? We just don't want to be found out. We don't want people to point out our weaknesses. We don't want people to know that. We don't want people to know our junk, our past, our background. And so we hide. and we become experts from the time we're little in image management. We'll be quick to tell you about the things that make us look smarter, younger, stronger about ourselves than we really are. But we're going to hide everything that we can that's going to make us look weak, old, not as smart. And we hide. We hide, just like Adam and Eve. Everybody has a past. Our past leads us to hiding. And third, hiding isolates us. Hiding isolates us. Look what happens in this passage. Verse 9, God says, he calls the man, he calls Adam, "Where are you?" And he says, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he says, "Well, who told you that? How'd you find that out? Did you do what I told you not to do?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, so I ate." See what's going on here? I have two sons. This week, I can't remember what happened. But one time we were down at the beach, I said to him, "All right, who did it?" I don't remember what I was asking about. Who did it? They both looked at me like at the same time, looked me right in the eye and go, and that's exactly what Adam and Eve did, right? God says to Adam, what's going on here? He's like, Adam not only blames his wife, he says, "The woman that you put here with me," right? So Adam's actually pointing to God too in that. So the Lord goes to Eve and says, "What's going on?" "Well, the serpent deceived me." And where there was relational unity, where there was relational oneness, where there was no shame between these people, now all of a sudden they're pointing their finger at each other. And that's what hiding does, isn't it? Sometimes people come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, our marriage is a wreck. Can you help us?" I was like, "Well, I'm willing to meet with you." And we get them in the office, we pray, and say, "Okay, what's going on?" Right? Same thing happens in my marriage. I get upset with my wife about something. I don't think about my sin. I don't see that. Of course not. I'm always like, and we want to blame shift, and it isolates us. It leads to all kinds of problems in our relationships. Not only with one another, but also with the Lord, right? Adam and Eve, they run to the bushes and they're hiding, not only from each other, but from God. It isolates us from God, all of the junk in our lives. So hiding isolates us. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Everyone has a past. Our past leads to hiding. Hiding isolates us. So if we're going to begin to make peace with our past, the fourth truth is we need to step out and start healing. We need to step out and start healing. Notice what it says in verse 10. The Lord walks into the garden and he says to Adam, "Where are you?" Where are you? Simple question, right? Is that not like the craziest question in all of Scripture? Think about that for a second. Let's just think practically for a second. We're not talking about, you know, a global "Where's Waldo" game going on. There's not like 6 billion people on the earth at this time and God's trying to pick out two of them. We're talking about there's only two people. Second, he knows where they are. They're in the garden. We don't know how big the garden was. Maybe it was the size of Texas, but it greatly reduces the area that God has to search. But let's think about who's asking the question. This is the sovereign God of the universe. This is the God who made these two. This is the God who knows everything about them. Do you really think God didn't know where they were? Do you really think that God the Father got together with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and said, "Man, I can't believe this. We've lost them already. We're going to have to really get to work on that global positioning system we talked about earlier. I didn't think we were going to need it this soon, but we're going to need it." No. God knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what they'd done. He knew exactly why they were hiding. So why does he say, "Where are you?" Here's what I think God was doing. He asked Adam, "Where are you?" because he wanted to know if Adam and Eve were ready to admit their sin and deal with it. If we're going to make peace with our past, with all the junk in our past, we got to be ready to step out and start healing. Notice what God does with this, actually. This is fascinating to me. If you drop down this passage, a part we didn't read, you come to verse 21. And after God kind of rolls out the consequences for their disobedience, consequences that we still live with today, by the way. Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them. Now that seems like just a little verse, but there's a lot packed in there. Let me share with you two things I noticed. First is this. The fig leaves weren't good enough. God said, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to cover you. And there's a foreshadowing that takes place here because the covering involved a blood sacrifice. An animal had to give its life so that Adam and Eve could be clothed. And second, what I see here is God took the initiative. God didn't say to Adam, okay, well, now you have to work for it. He said, no, I'm going to take the initiative, and I'm going to clothe you. And it foreshadows what God did when he sent Jesus, his son, to go to the cross as a blood sacrifice for us so that we could for once and all be covered, have our sins covered and taken care of and removed. And God took the initiative. And in the same way that God took the initiative for Adam and Eve, in the same way that God took the initiative of sending Jesus to the cross, God is going to take the initiative in your life to bring peace to your past if you are willing to step out of the bushes, stop hiding, come clean. Let me give you a principle. This isn't in your notes, but you might want to write this down. Anything in our lives that is kept in darkness has power over us. Anything in our lives that is kept in darkness has power over us. As long as we're going to hide out in the bushes and hide from others and from God, it has power over us. Our secret sins, addictions, all those kind of things. So if we're going to start healing, we need to step out. What does that look like practically? Does that mean we should set up a microphone down front here this morning and have you all come up and share with the whole congregation all your junk? Well, that's a good way to get everybody to exit. Right? That's not necessarily what it means. I think it means first that we need to come clean with God. I mean, God is sovereign. He's all-knowing. He knows where we are. And some of you this morning, he's saying to you, where are you? Where are you? So we come clean with him. We say, okay, God, here's all the junk in my life. I made a mess of it. Other people have done things to me too, and it's just a mess. And here it is. And you take it. And you deal with it. But I also think that involves coming clean with other people in our lives. And I share with you when you're walking across the lobby, I understand that's not the place and the time necessarily to be talking about the things, that the junk in your life. But there ought to be a place somewhere in each of our lives where we have some people that love us enough but that when they say to you, how are you doing, they really want to know. And we can really be honest and say, you know what, let me be honest with you. I'm not doing so well. Here's why. So we come clean. We come out of hiding. We allow God into the process to begin to heal us. So four truths from this passage. Everyone has a past. A past leads us to hiding. All of us are really good at hiding. That hiding isolates us, and I'm sure you can see how that's worked in your life. And then if we're going to begin to heal from it, we need to step out and start healing. In your bulletins, you'll see there's a blue sheet in there that highlights what the rest of the series is going to look like. We encourage you to participate in this series. Pastor Jeff's going to be here the next 2 weeks. You'll see some of the topics we're going to be covering. Pastor Todd's going to preach once. I encourage you to come and check this out. Again, if you're not going to be here, get the CDs, listen to it online. In just a few moments, the band's going to come out and they're going to sing a song. This is a song that might be new to many of you. We have not sung it here on a Sunday morning before. Many of you are going to recognize it. It's called In the Light. I just want to let you know, I want you to be thinking about as we sing this song, what is God saying to you? To some of you, God's saying, where are you? Where are you? Are you going to continue to hide? What's God saying to you? After the service, I'm going to be down front over in this corner. If God is speaking to you and you want a prayer or you just want to share something with me, I'd love to have the opportunity to do that. Pastor Jeff will be making his way to the hospitality room, so if you're like a first-time guest or you're kind of newer here to CBC, great opportunity to go meet Pastor Jeff in the hospitality room way down the hall. But this song goes like this that they're going to sing, and I want you, if you're willing, you can join in or you can just listen. It goes like this. I keep trying to find a life. on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. Tell me, what's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a Savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light. The disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring the sickness under control. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to step out. I want to start healing. I want to live, Lord, in your light. I want you to be my salvation. Listen and ask the Lord what he's saying to you as they sing.
Pastor Jim, don't go too far yet. Hey, I appreciate you leaving the speeding violator nameless in the beginning of your message earlier.
Yeah, I did do that.
But I feel like I need to step out and start healing. And that was me about 3 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
No, I'm not kidding.
And after that, we did commiserate because you're not the only one who said speaking violations, right?
Right. Yeah. That one I deserved. I did. and if it sounds like I'm implying that I've had others, well, I've had a few. So
this song's for you, too.
I do appreciate you leaving me nameless, but that's not going to help me at all. So, and I don't know, just to go off that story, from the other end of it, it was a little creepy that I got an email the next day from Pastor Jim. So how much was that speeding ticket for? And I emailed my wife and I said, these pastors are good. But that was me. And now that you know my dark, deep, dark past, I hope you'll allow me to lead you in this song. if you know the song, feel free to join us in singing it. But as Jim said, I want to be in the light as you are in the light. Let's step out and start healing.
Trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicion that I'm still a man in need of a Savior. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. Ooh, tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicion that I'm still a man in need. Why don't you stand and sing with us? I want to be in the light. You are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light.
Father, I pray that you would be at work in each of our hearts, that we would live in the light, Lord, that you would be healing our past and helping us to overcome the guilt and the shame of the things that we've done, and the shame and the hurt and the regret of the things that have been done to us. And I pray that we would learn as a people through this series that you came to die on the cross for all of that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be at work in our lives so that we can become all that you want us to be. And again, I don't know the stories in this room, Lord, but you do. So meet us at our place of need, Lord, and help us to live as people in the light.
I want to be in the light. You are in the light.
Oh, I want to be in the light. You are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light. All I want is to be in the light.
Oh, I want to be in the light.
Are in the light. I want to shine like stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. All I want is to be in the light.
All I want, all I want.
All I want is to be in the light.
All I want, all I want.
All I want is to be in the
light. Amen. Let's live in the light this week. Let's live in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ this week. You are dismissed. You can leave the chairs up this week.